Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of these responses are predictably incredible. Monday night, it's Ohio State and Notre Dame. We're not going to have time to get into it on Friday or Monday with the Lions playoff game, so we're just getting ahead of it now. Who do you want to win? Because someone has to. And John went to the three deep, found the third string quarterback in Notre Dame and said, CJ Carr. So you're going to root for CJ Carr, a.k.a., you don't want to say it out loud, Notre Dame. Greg Hargrave, Michigan alum, has said the same. It's easy to him. You root for the Irish. Tom, what do you think?
All right, we've had numerous ticket techs rooting for a tie, and that's impossible. Although there used to be a world where bowl games would tie, which is absolutely unbelievable.
Stupid.
And so you can't do the tie. So the next best thing is this is the first national championship game that is decided by two-point conversions in overtime. So I want multiple OTs so that they can both whine and complain about the OT system. I think that's the best. And then whoever wins, wins. Now, I have a compelling reason, seriously, with all the joshing that was going around and the Walmart Wolverining and stuff to John and Greg, where I think they'll at least give this a little respect, but I understand you would still go Ohio State. And that is the reason I would root against Notre Dame here. Notice I didn't say root for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Root against Notre Dame is I can't stand how Notre Dame acts like they do things right. And they present this holier than thou when they're pretty much just like everybody else. I at least respect Ohio State from just jumping in the portal and shooting their wad to buy a team. And they kind of embrace their dirtiness a little bit. They don't act like they're clean.
But it's not dirty anymore.
They don't act like they're clean, though. Like
they're self-aware. That's the difference. Ohio State is self-aware.
Yes. They don't act like this whole thing like the around Notre Dame.
Think about it for Notre Dame.
Just BS. You're a bunch of fakes and you're just like everybody else.
Notre Dame plays in the Big Ten in hockey. They had the ACC exception in football. They can have it their way at everybody else's expense. They get their own cookie cutter system for the college football playoff. They had their own cookie cutter system in the BCS. They are the height of arrogance.
I mean, Ohio State embraces a little bit that they are the Big Ten's SEC team. You know, in terms of the dirty tactics, and a lot of that stuff is going away with the way you can move around now in college football. But I've never really ran into, instead of Ohio State like denying that they're kind of dirty, they just take shots at Michigan instead. they don't act like they're not dirty.
So, yeah, you're right about that part. Let's get some ticket texts and phone calls. 248-539-9797. You guys are overcomplicating this. I like Buckeye tears. That's from Justin.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to disagree with that one at all. This will be more of a hate watch than it will be a rooting for anybody else.
I don't care if it was Ohio State versus ISIS. I hope the Buckeyes lose by 70. I think there's another one Tom didn't bring in. Someone said if it was Satan University, quarterbacked by Osama bin Laden, I'd still pick against Ohio State. So
here's the thing about... So the last time when they played against Georgia for the title, it was so poetic that as the clock struck midnight, they miss a field goal to lose the national title. If they were able to lose in epic fashion yet again, and we were able to relive the moment of a despondent Ryan Day on the field mouthing the words, "What just happened?" I'd be all in for that.
Speaking of Ryan Day, Texter says, I want the Big Ten to win. If Ohio State loses, they might fire Day. Keep him at Ohio State. He can't beat Michigan.
See, this is some tremendous mental gymnastics that everyone is going for to figure out how they want to view this game on Monday night.
How about this line of thinking? Guys, I'm a Michigan fan. I hate both of these teams. I've decided to root for Notre Dame because I'm part Irish. No other reason. Tim from Ford. This one says, I'm hoping Bane comes back, recreates the scene where the field implodes, the game's canceled, Rudy sucks. William from Stockbridge. And a lot of people saying, let's go Meteor. Let's go Meteor. Yeah,
Meteor shower.
This one says, I have to go with the Big Ten because of Notre Dame's arrogance. I hate Ohio State. I'd root for anybody against them. Derek in Brighton. Irish all day. FOSU. That's Sean the Mailman.
Yeah.
Let's get some phone calls in. David in Pontiac, you're on 97.1.
I got to go with Notre Dame because if Ohio State wins, then that'll put a damper on our win, Michigan winning over Ohio State. All their fans will gladly say that they'll rather take the loss to the Wolverines to win the national championship. So I'd rather see Ryan Day die as he cries, start dripping down his face. I'd rather see them lose and the Buckeyes have to deal with that. Now, I don't think Ryan Day is going to lose his job if he loses the national championship. I think he's done enough to keep it.
You're probably
but I'd
right.
rather see Ohio State lose.
Done enough to keep it. He's been one of the most successful college coaches in the last 5 or 6 years.
But
he's done enough to keep his job.
But at Ohio State, you're defined by two things. He has not done. I mean, he beat Michigan, I think, his first year, but hasn't done it in a long time and hasn't won a national title.
That was the year that I think that was the third base.
Yeah. So Gov hates Notre Dame because they act just like Michigan?
Right.
See, that's the hypocrisy.
I had to call
and
that out.
If
yeah.
people listen all the time, nobody calls out Michigan for being a fraud and arrogant. And they got a cocoon and a liberal wall over there. The blue wall exists. The Michigan mafia exists. I've said all these things all the time. And I said Mozzie should have been suspended. And it's a joke how they handled the tunnel. Listen, people. I call Michigan for what it is. I've told you guys I root for the team on the field and the helmet still. And I've even told people at the station off the air, and I'll say it on the air now, I've almost walked away from Michigan because it's a joke the way they act. I'm just saying Notre Dame doesn't get called out for doing the same thing.
Better be careful.
Am I risking things here?
Mafia's listening.
Is Ward listening?
Cement shoes in the Detroit River.
Look the other way, Ward.
Yeah. No, we would use the Huron.
Okay.
Yeah, I live close to the Huron River, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There's a bridge right by me that goes.
So that's where we'll look first if you go missing.
There's a lot of kayakers there, so.
That's all right. You can only see so far down in the Huron. Yeah.
Josh and
Ypsilanti. It's fusing the Erie so I can go to Ohio.
Josh and Ypsilanti, good morning.
Hey, as a Michigan State alum, I think this is a no-brainer. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Therefore, Ohio State's the obvious answer. And then on top of that, you've got the fact that MSU has a rivalry against Notre Dame for the megaphone.
True. Is it at all different, though, that Notre Dame doesn't commit to the rivalry every year? Like, either side. They don't play Michigan every year. They don't play State every year. They're just kind of an occasional
rival,
on-field rival. I know you fight with them all the time, but you don't play them all the time, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good question. I'm not sure why they don't have that every year. I think that's a shame because those were always great games. I mean, going back to the fake field goal game and the D'Antonio heart attack, I mean, even when both teams weren't that great or one team was better than the other, significantly, they were still pretty close games. And then, of course, the Michigan-Notre Dame rivalry is historic. But, yeah, if you want to talk about Walmart Wolverines, I mean, Notre Dame's right up there. They've got the same amount of people that act the exact same way.
Yeah, and they associate with, I mean, if they were to play Michigan or Michigan State on a regular basis, that would be too many Big Ten teams. They would rather associate with one of the lesser Power Four teams or Power Four conferences, and that's obviously the ACC.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, too. They won't join the Big Ten, which I think we don't like them here for that.
Well, they're in the footprint. I mean,
I know they should be in. They should join a conference. Like, join a conference is another frustration with Notre Dame, and if you are, the Big Ten makes the most sense. Think about this,
too. You know
too.
What, though? I see I'm against that.
No?
Well, first of all, I don't want him in the Big Ten. Second of all, I kind of like some of the nuance that college football has, college athletics, and that's one of the nuances.
The other thing I was going to say is they don't play Michigan and Michigan State every year, but they make sure to play USC and Stanford every year. You know what I mean? Like, that should kind of bother you, too. We're not good enough to be the annual rival, but Stanford is?
Again, it's the nuance of college athletics.
They just have their own set of rules. Notre Dame, more than any other school, has their own set of rules. They play by their own set of rules, and I think that's what makes them entirely hateable.
But when we are losing so much of the identity of conferences, like the Big Ten, or even like SMU, I didn't even realize or couldn't figure out where SMU, what conference they were in. And now you've got, you know, Big Ten schools on the West Coast. Like, it just... so much has eroded away from college athletics and rivalries. Even though Stanford is not a traditional powerhouse in football, I do like that there is a rivalry. I like the fact that they do play USC at the end of the year because it's a rivalry. Even though now USC, that is a Big Ten game.
Couple more ticket texters. It's as simple as Marcus Freeman being far more likable than Ryan Day.
Yeah,
I can't fault you if that's because that, yeah. I think he is considerably more likable than Ryan Day. And Ryan Day losing is fun, whether you're a Michigan fan or not. Ryan Day losing is fun. Texture says, "Whoa, spicy garlic guy is spicy this morning."
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ticket texture says, "I'm hoping for a 13-10 Irish victory." Josh in a van. I hate both these MFs. It's a good note to end on. All right, we've got the two Grand Slam coming up next. Some Jared Goff disrespect at 7:35. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to ask you a bunch of questions. They're going to take those answers and build a financial plan that is unique and fits your situation. It's exactly what they did with me, and they modify that game plan as I travel through this thing called life. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Before the two Grand Slam, we've got Heather with the news.
All right. Well, police in Ann Arbor are searching for a suspected bank robber. Someone is on the loose. Happened Tuesday afternoon. Police said this man walked into a bank on Plymouth Road, approached the teller's window, demanded cash, said he had a gun, never showed it, but did say he had a weapon. He left the bank with an undisclosed amount of cash, then drove away in a gray GMC Terrain. He was last seen driving southbound on Green Road. And they say he is described as a man wearing a green long sleeve shirt, black pants, and a camo face covering. Anyone who recognized him should call the Ann Arbor Police Department. I feel like we've had more of these bank robber stories in the past few months. Apparently, he got away with it.
For now.
Yeah, he won't get away with it. He got out.
I don't know if people think they're like in a movie. I mean, what are you going to do with this? I mean,
there's cameras everywhere. You're going to get caught.
And
somebody's going to recognize you.
And
yes.
Some of them have that dye on it. And then, anyway.
Yep, whatever. You guys, two people died on Tuesday morning after a wrong-way driver hit another driver head-on in Troy. Police said a 53-year-old Bloomfield Hills man was driving east in the westbound lanes of Long Lake at Northfield Parkway when he hit a Dodge Caravan. Both the wrong-way driver and the driver of the Caravan, a 70-year-old man from Sterling Heights, were pronounced dead at the scene. So far, it's unclear why the at-fault driver was going the wrong way in the first place, but the investigation is ongoing. The FDA is banning red dye number 3 from the nation's food supply. So the dye was banned from cosmetics and non-oral medications decades ago, like almost 35 years ago, because a study showed that it caused cancer when it was consumed by rats. But it did keep appearing in ingredient lists for, you know, really popular, a lot of snack foods, other grocery store products as well, because it remained approved up until now. There's also studies that show, I know when I was teaching, I learned a lot about this, about red dye and how it can affect children. Mm-hmm. There's studies that show it can cause behavioral issues in young kids, trouble focusing, memory problems. Anyway, we're going to start to see this disappear. So you're most likely to see red dye in candies, some snack foods. There are some dairy and frozen food products as well, beverages, medications. So food manufacturers have until January of 2027 to remove the red dye number 3. And then drug makers have until January of 2028 to get rid of it.
It's already banned in like Europe and,
yes,
and Australia and other places. So it's just long overdue.
It's crazy to me that it took nearly 35 years after it was banned in other products to ban it in what we eat. I'm all for it. So.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Yep.
So that, Eagles fan who was captured on video over the weekend, you know, calling that Packers fan just some vile names, is now speaking out. On Wednesday, Ryan Caldwell released a statement saying that the viral video did not tell the full story. And he insists that what took place just before his vulgar rant was banter between all parties. He then strongly implied that the guy who was filming, the girl's fiance, Alexander Basara, egged him on. And he says, you know what? My actions were provoked, but that does not mean I should have used what I used, those words. He did call his behavior unacceptable. He made a big apology to basically everyone, right? To his wife, his family, to his former employer, to the girl he was talking to, yeah, to Eagles fans. Basically, he just said, I'm sorry to every single person I've ever offended. And he says, you know what? This experience is going to stay with him, and he's certainly paying a personal price.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen a lot now more about the guy who filmed it. You know, really thinking about it, like, you're going to film this when this person is talking about your wife, and then you're going to post it on the internet. It just, all of it, everything is wrong about this situation.
I agree.
Yes. None of it was handled properly.
Somebody says that once, that's the last time you say it about if I'm standing there next to my wife.
Oh, that's, yes. And there's no way my husband would post it online afterward,
yeah, no,
just to get attention and clearly get some likes.
Yeah.
Dangerously cold temperatures aren't actually here. They're more on the way. It's going to get really, really cold next week. So brace yourself. Let's see. A cold outbreak will move in late Saturday into Monday. Then it's going to stick around until Wednesday. And I'm talking with the wind chill. Lows could be negative 15, negative 25 from Monday through Wednesday morning. So get ready for your heating bill to go a little higher. And
make sure to use those automatic starts.
Boots.
Oh, that sounds brutal.
I don't have any boots.
What?
I don't have boots. I need winter boots. I've been looking for a pair of boots. By the time I find some, it's going to be spring.
Yeah.
Well, because they got to be cute enough.
Well, they have to. They just need to be comfortable. But I just, and cute, yes. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would need boots, right, to go outside and play with Emily. And
I have boots for that. Like, they're like go up to almost
galoshes.
They're like my shoveling the driveway boots.
Sure.
They go like up my calf, but right, I can't wear those to work. They're huge. Like, they've got fur around.
Right,
the
but you're only walking from your car to the door, which is literally like 15 yards.
What if something happened to my car and it dies and I'm on the side of the road and I'm wearing these shoes with no socks.
I mean, so you should have AAA.
My car's not running. I'm freezing.
Yeah, but you should have AAA. It's, first of all, stay in your car.
Yes.
And I would think you'd have AAA on speed dial now because of the keys thing.
You would think that I would, but I don't.
So there's Heather with the news. All right, two grand slam.
Yeah, this is great. You could be $2,000 richer in 1 minute. Let's do this. Let's give away some money. The rules, everyone knows, really simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if they get them all right.
Today's contestant.
Yes.
Andrew in Monroe. Today's your day, Andrew. Good morning.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Yourself?
It's kind of cool I'm on here. It's my birthday today. So
hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Right. Yeah, what year is this for you?
34.
All right, there you go.
Let's get you a birthday present.
Sure. All right, Andrew, you know the rules, right?
Yep, we certainly do.
All right, let's play. Here we go. Who wears jersey number 87 for the Detroit Lions?
Pass.
Who is the head coach of the Washington Commanders?
Dan Quinn.
Where did Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin play in college?
Pass.
This Hall of Famer quarterback won 4 Super Bowls with the Steelers.
Terry Bradshaw.
This federal holiday will be observed next Monday.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
The Lions Commanders game will air on this TV network.
Pass.
Who voiced Lord Business in the Lego movie?
Pass.
Who do the Red Wings play tonight?
The Florida Panthers.
Who was the headline performer at the Super Bowl last February?
Usher.
Name the only active NFC head coach to win a Super Bowl.
Pass.
Who wears jersey number 87 for the Lions?
Sam LaPorta.
Where did Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin play in college?
Baylor.
We got you with 6.
Hey, that's not
6.
Bad.
Yeah, I know.
Take it, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, happy birthday. That's a great way to start the day for you.
$150.
Oh, it really is. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Make sure you stay on hold there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get you on hold. Make sure you get paid $150. Maybe birthday dinner, birthday present, whatever you want to do. That's not bad.
Uh-huh.
And there was a few that we talked about off air that we thought were tough. And he got one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got two
right
of
away.
Them.
Two of
I
them,
thought,
actually. Yeah. So let's go through this. Jersey number 87. He got it on the second try.
Yep. Sam LaPorta.
Yeah, good call. Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach.
Yep.
Terry McLaurin, he passed it once, and then he said Baylor just at the end. It's Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
They churn out NFL receivers.
You're saying it wrong. The
trademark. Hall of Fame quarterback who won 4 Super Bowls with the Steelers, Terry Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. Federal holiday that will be observed on Monday, MLK Day. Lions Commanders game will air on this network. He didn't get back to it.
Yeah, there's really only 3 options at this point, but it is Fox.
Who voiced Lord Business in the Lego movie?
Yeah.
None of us knew this.
Yeah, don't even know who that is. I mean, I know Will Ferrell is
the answer,
but
I didn't know it either. Red Wings play the Panthers tonight.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Sneaky, right?
Yeah.
Who is the headline performer at the Super Bowl last February?
Didn't even pause. He nailed it.
Oh, he knew it right away. And that's the one we were talking about, that it's, you know it, but it takes sometimes a minute to actually remember.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I could tell you some great performances, but I couldn't tell you who it was last year. In fact, we even said, hey, who was it this year?
Yep.
And we had a hard time pulling that one from the memory banks.
It,
yeah.
And we've been thinking about everything but the halftime show when it comes to the Super Bowl. And the last question, the only active NFC head coach to win a Super Bowl.
That would be the little man, Sean McVay.
Sean McVay. All right, your next chance to win is next Tuesday at 7:25. Andrew and Monroe, on his 34th birthday, wins $150. Coming up next, some Jared Goff disrespect from the national media. We'll put a stop to it. It's 97.1. Reminder, tomorrow is your shot to win Lions playoff tickets with us. Pair of tickets, Saturday night. Lions Commanders. It's courtesy of Bud Light. You got to be listening tomorrow. We'll tell you how to win, but come on now. These tickets are a hot commodity. We're excited to give them to somebody.
It's pretty awesome. There's no question. If you get a chance to go to this game, we talked about the cost of them yesterday. You can go for free.
Yeah. Probably a value of, I don't know exactly where the seats are, but for two of them.
Yeah. I mean, the
could be $2,000 in value.
Oh yeah, could be. Could be more. Could be a little bit less. But yeah,
give or take, right around there. Yeah. Anyway, it's good stuff. We have a bunch to do today. We have some ticket texters reacting to the two Grand Slam. Proud of the job. We've not had great contestants lately. Andrew stepped in there and held his own.
The best of the bunch to start the season.
For sure.
And we also have some stuff to get into in the 8 o'clock hour, including Naked Heather Park. You have a story to share. We'll get to that after we talk a little bit about the Lions.
I'm so looking forward to this discussion. So uncomfortable.
It really
I bet you are, John.
So uncomfortable.
Really, I don't think you should say you're looking forward to the conversation.
Well, it's the uncomfortable nature and just to hear the situation and to hear it out loud.
Story time. 8:02. We'll see how this goes. We're going to get to this Jared Goff conversation too, John. I've been saying disrespect from the national media. Why don't we play the audio for people so we understand we're all on the same page? This is from FS1's Breakfast Ball. This is Danny Parkins talking about Jared Goff and Jaden Daniels ahead of the matchup this week.
Some qualifiers in there.
Right, but even at the point, would you trade Jared Goff for Jaden Daniels? You paused.
I am pausing. I am pausing.
Dramatic pause.
It's not disrespect. This year, next year, I'd take Jared Goff.
Right.
I think Jared Goff is legitimately in the MVP conversation.
Okay.
I don't think Jaden Daniels is.
So why pause?
If you are when he talks about if you're starting an organization with a quarterback, would you rather start with a guy that is in year one, produced 12 wins, and has the skill set of Jaden Daniels versus a guy? What year is Goff in? Year 8, 9?
He's established. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so, if you're looking at the long view. And a guy that could be your quarterback for the next 15-plus years, I don't think Jared Goff is playing for – does he play for another 10 years? Is he the starting quarterback here for how long?
I mean, Dan Campbell said he's just getting into his prime.
Right, and I agree with that.
And for a quarterback, you can play into your late 30s. We see it with pretty regularity at this point.
Right. So, okay, another 8, 9 years of really good football.
Yes.
And so if you're – if you're looking down the road, which nobody wants to look that far down the road, there's an argument to be made regarding this year, next year, the Super Bowl window for the Detroit Lions. The clear answer is Jared Goff.
Right. So I don't know what he's really getting at here. I understand propping up Jaden Daniels. I mean, what he has done in his rookie season should be highlighted, right? I mean, it's okay to give him credit, but I think we go a little far when we say he's better than Jared Goff. If you want to say, hey, I could see a world 6 years from now.
Right.
But that's not the world we're currently occupying.
That's why I mentioned it when he comes out of that audio, there's a lot of qualifiers in there. If you're starting an organization, would you rather have a quarterback in year one with the potential of Jaden Daniels or Jared Goff?
Okay, counterpoint. Even as someone who was once on this side of the aisle.
I think I surprised you a little bit with my answer.
I did. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing here? Just say Goff's better. Why are we even fighting
Goff is better right now.
Yeah. The very first words out of this clip are, Jaden Daniels is better than Jared Goff. And then he tries to make the case. Jared Goff, in a lot of ways, was part of a startup organization. When he got to Detroit, they had traded away a franchise quarterback. They had the worst defense in team history. The coach took over. They didn't win their first game until December. He very much started, we could say, like from ground zero.
Right. One of the worst rosters in NFL history.
And are we not pleased with how that's gone? Like, the idea here is, well, I wouldn't want to put Jared Goff on a bad roster because, what, 3 or 4 years later, you'd be chasing a Super Bowl? Like, I'm not really sure that Danny Parkins is making the point he wants to make here. If you want to just say Daniels has more tools, he's faster, he's more mobile, you like his arm strength, like, fine, make the traits argument. But I think Goff has shown, and he's shown me specifically, that there is more to football than just the traits. I think Justin Herbert's a great example of a traits quarterback. Goff is a winning quarterback, and by that I mean he's got enough arm strength, and he's a great processor. He's anticipatory. He's composed. he's all of the things you need to be to win in the postseason. And we saw Goff win multiple playoff games a year ago. I understand Detroit's got a good football team, but at some point we have to stop holding that against Jared Goff and acknowledge, like I have, that he is a franchise quarterback.
Yes, he is. And I don't think that's the argument here. Let's go back to the Goff-Stafford trade. And we were talking at that time about new coach, new GM, worst roster in football, and the steps it was going to take. How long was it going to take to get to where the Lions wanted to get to? Now, I actually think we're a bit ahead of schedule. We're last year, for sure, in regards to making the NFC Championship game. The timeline, because of Matthew Stafford's age, didn't match up with the build that it was going to take for the Lions to get where they are.
Correct.
And so Goff fit that timeline much better. And so you're kind of talking apples and oranges here, because the Commanders, I think they're not where the Lions were, obviously, in year two of Dan Campbell, because they didn't make the playoffs. The Commanders have made the playoffs. They're somewhere in between in regards to where the Commanders franchise is going. Now, I don't know if their general manager is going to be able to draft at the same level as Detroit and Brad Holmes has. Are they going to be able to build a team around? Because every team, even though you have a franchise quarterback, and I think Washington has a franchise quarterback as well, you're going to need other weapons around them. I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson hasn't won a Super Bowl, and he's played with great defenses.
There's no doubt. I think the Stafford years in Detroit are a very localized example of your QB needs support. Jared Goff is also an example of your QB needs support.
Sure.
His career was resurrected in a lot of ways because of his own resilience, but because he has a great offensive line, because the run game is as good as any in football, because Amon-Ra St. Brown, as a fourth-round pick, is a two-time All-Pro receiver, right? I mean, Brad Holmes has outfitted Jared Goff with a cushy situation. I understand that. Every quarterback needs support. Every quarterback. I mean, maybe not Mahomes, but even Mahomes in the Super Bowl, when he got pressured against Tampa, there's only so much he could do when they lost that game.
Right. And part of the argument is also, you know, and when you're just talking about the rookie quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels has done more with less than Caleb Williams did with more.
Yeah. That's fair to say. Everybody was highlighting the situation that Caleb inherited. Right. Nobody was talking about Washington as a great destination for Jaden Daniels. That's a defensive head coach, one real wide receiver, and running backs that were kind of by committee, a shaky offensive line, and a defense that was wretched a season ago. They're still not very good, but they're a little better now with, you know, defensive head coach. We played the audio. What was your reaction to it? 248-539-9797. The idea that Jaden Daniels is better than Jared Goff. Let's get to Sean in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good morning. It's going pretty good over here.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that I feel like the whole Daniels and Goff shouldn't be a conversation at all, considering the fact that Daniels is a rookie. He'll be a good comparison to Caleb Williams and all the rookie quarterbacks, but I don't see Daniels, especially with Goff's numbers and what Goff has endured the past 3 years. He came to the Lions without LaPorta, without Gibbs, without Knuckles and Sonic. So I don't see where, you know, Danny's argument is legitimate, because he's mentioning a bunch of points that Goff went through as well. So I also have another thing to say. Stafford left Detroit, went to the Rams to a better team with a better offensive line and a better wide receiver core, and he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the NFL, football, it's a team sport. So I don't see where Danny's argument is coming from.
Well, you know, clearly this year it's a non-argument. And there's not much to support Jaden Daniels being better. But when he throws in there, if you were starting an organization, who would you rather start that organization with, Jaden Daniels or Jared Goff? And that is it's an answer that we don't really have a question to, because we saw C.J. Stroud last year, and the argument was it was C.J. Stroud or Jared Goff. And then in year two, it's clearly still Goff.
Yeah, when you have multiple years that got, like last year and this year for Jared Goff, he's in the prime of his career. I'm not getting a guy in his mid-30s. This is a guy who's got a lot of football ahead of him. It's Goff today. I'm starting a franchise today. It's Goff over Jaden Daniels. Even playing Danny Parkin's game, it's Jared Goff. Now, you guys tell us. Maybe you agree with him. The other question I want to know is, like, why does this keep happening? with Jared Goff, why is he not getting the proper respect? I know we're big on disrespect here in Detroit versus everybody, but why does this happen? We're winning now. He's successful. He's playing very well. Why is this continuing to happen? Coming up next, I want to throw out my rankings of all 8 playoff quarterbacks. See if you guys agree with me on that. It's 97.1.
Hey, it is getting cold outside, and it's only going to get colder next week. And it, you may need your furnace serviced. Do it today before it gets super cold. Do what I did. Call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. So you can call, and they will be there today. Plus, there's a 5-year warranty on their work, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle. That's up to $15 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. Call for details, or you can visit them online at mastercraftheating.com.
Danny Parkins, FS1, Breakfast Ball. Why doesn't Goff get more respect?
Well, and so here's what Jaden Daniels is doing. He as a rookie, it's been impressive, right? Mm-hmm. It's 12 wins.
Yeah.
It's a new coach. He doesn't have – there's no – we talked about continuity of system. He's a rookie. By definition, there's no continuity in the system. It's a new head coach. Yeah. There's no continuity in the system. So, again, it's apples and oranges. If he is and looking into the future, if everybody wants to look into their crystal ball, Jared Goff in year 3, you could say whatever reason they were there, he was the quarterback of a team that went to the Super Bowl. Does Jaden Daniels, is he able to get that done by year 3?
Yeah, again, I don't know why Goff doesn't get more respect. And if you guys could help fill us in, 248-539-9797. John, the point he makes about if I'm starting a franchise today, Jared Goff has been in lousy situations numerous times in his career, and he has been a catalyst for making things better. When he got to Cal, they were a one-win team. His last year, they were 8 wins. They went to a bowl. They won that bowl game. When he got to L.A., or I guess St. Louis at the time, they were the worst team in football. They had the number one pick. Yeah, they were one of the worst teams. They went to a Super Bowl. He got to Detroit, Ground Zero in Detroit. 3 years are in the NFC title game this year. They're a Super Bowl favorite. Jared Goff, it's not like if you put him in a bad situation, the guy can't thrive. I mean, we've seen it repeatedly.
Right.
I think Daniels is more mobile. He's more athletic. He may be more physically gifted. Right now, Jared Goff is the better quarterback because playing quarterback isn't just physical gifts. See Herbert, Justin.
Well, and here's the other thing about Jared Goff. And what we don't know about Jaden Daniels, this is kind of an argument in futility because we don't know how much is Jaden Daniels going to improve. What's he going to do to improve the mental side of it? Because the one thing that I love about Jared Goff and the one thing that I've always defended him about is, especially when he got to Detroit, he was willing to look at what he is doing and improve. He doesn't care about numbers or stats. If he did, he may be more in the conversation for the MVP, but the Lions might not be where they're at because he has no problem throwing the ball away. He has no problem throwing the ball into the ground. He has no problem running and barely getting back to the line of scrimmage because it's what matters most for the team on that in that moment. We don't know Jaden Daniels. Will he be able to learn more about the NFL game and be a quarterback that is heady in regards to being able to make decisions at the line of scrimmage, put your team in the best play possible? Jared Goff does that. I love the fact that we have an experienced, smart, veteran quarterback that, yeah, he's got a lot of weapons around him. Washington hasn't been able to do that around Jaden Daniels yet because it is a new quarterback, a new coach. It's a new owner.
I think an overlooked attribute of quarterbacks is being able to stand in there on 3rd and 7 and get a first. Or how about that 4th down and 5? Was that against the Vikings where he was nearly about getting sacked and he made the pass and hit the receiver in stride and we got the first down? People fall for hype. I would say this quick and then we get to the calls. I don't know if anybody was ever scapegoated as bad as Jared Goff by Sean McVay. And he got painted as he was blamed, right? 100% blamed for why the Rams couldn't complete it. And it by changing quarterbacks out there, Sean McVay bought himself time, right? I think we would agree that Stafford is slightly better. I think it's debatable.
So it's really tough. Like, Sean McVay did scapegoat Jared Goff, but he was also right to get Stafford because it led them to a Super Bowl. Like, both things can be true. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but when he came here, virtually nobody, everybody thought it was a throw-in because McVay painted him so far away from what he really was.
It was too extreme.
No, I think people thought Jared Goff was done as a starter. I remember him being ranked like 26th in quarterback rankings the first year he was here.
Do you remember this term? Bridge quarterback?
Yeah. Yep. And I think we all fell for it. I think fans would admit we fell for a false narrative or fake news, and that's what these outlets do, and then they create hype. And I'll just say this about, you know what, I know Jared Goff can stand in the pocket and complete that critical pass on third or fourth down. You know what, Lamar had his chance last year against the Chiefs, and he didn't.
But it's about a guy that just simply wins, right? He's not the sexy pick. He's not the flashy quarterback, and his numbers are always going to be good. Sometimes they might be great. And how many times did we talk about a quarterback with a perfect passer rating this year? It was Jared Goff. But last year the hot topic at this time of the year was CJ Stroud. This year it's Jaden Daniels. What did CJ Stroud do in year two?
Sophomore slump, step back.
Right.
And even before Tank Dell got hurt, even before Stephon Diggs got hurt.
I do think it'll be an interesting track to follow where Washington goes with Jaden Daniels, because when you look at the two franchises and you look at where the Lions were 3 years ago because of, and I mentioned, in Washington, what do they have going on right now? New ownership, new quarterback, new coach, and they're trying to build a roster. They're starting with a little bit more than Detroit did 4 years ago, but when the Lions started this over, what was it? New coach, new GM, new quarterback, new owner.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I disagree with the Parkins point of, if I'm starting a franchise today, well, I get a polished, proven veteran in Goff who has inherited really lousy situations at three different stops. And yes, those rosters were good by the end, but he was part of those good rosters. And I think that's the thing that people don't realize.
And part of the question is, and the why it's a debate, is the great unknown. We don't know what Jaden Daniels will be in 3 years.
Right. So I think you just can't make the argument he's better right now.
Right. I think we can be confident that we know what Jared Goff will be in 3 years.
And I think there's power in that.
There's great power in that. Great confidence. NFL coaches love knowing what they have.
Before we get the phone calls, I did say I had a ranking of the remaining quarterbacks. And I don't think this is very controversial, but I'm sure people will find a flaw or fault in it.
Oh, a power surge on quarterbacks.
Yeah, but I'm going to do it in like 60 seconds. I'm not going to drag this out. Number one quarterback to me right now is Josh Allen. I have Mahomes number two. I have Lamar number three. Put Jared Goff number four. Is that okay to put Goff at number four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have Stafford at five ahead of Hurts at six. Stafford has been to and won a Super Bowl. So Hurts is at six. And then the final tier is the seven and eight spots. It's Stroud and Daniels. It's just too raw, too young. I mean, they've won a playoff game. This is not a slight to them. They're just not in the category of these other guys who have won multiple playoff games, in some cases Super Bowls, in some case, championship performances. There's my top eight. Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Goff, Stafford, Hurts, Daniels, Stroud.
We'll discuss when we return.
Okay, 97-1.